Asia Wide Hits 24/7. This is Asian Pop Radio. Download our app now free via the App Store. We are crossing to Singapore as we love to do. Oh, I'm assuming Singapore, but I will stand corrected. It is the one, the only Nat Ho. How are you going, Nat?
I am good, thank you.
Are you in Singapore now? Are you in Taiwan? Are you somewhere else in the world?
I am in Singapore right now. That's because I've been stuck here shooting a soap. It's called Tanglin. It's probably the Singaporean equivalent of Neighbours, maybe.
Oh, there you go. What's the series called?
It's called Tanglin. It's an ongoing series. It's been running for about 2 years now. So we are now third season.
Wow, there you go. You don't have any characters by the name of Scott and Charlene, do you? Like Kylie and Jason?
No, we don't.
Hey, Nat, while we're talking Neighbours, what's the equivalent in Singapore? In Australia, if we saw, you know, someone from the suburbs and, you know, a bit rough around the edges, we'd call them a bogan. And I know Singapore's not quite the size of Australia, but do you have the equivalent?
I think we do, actually. So it's usually like probably the local equivalent of a chav, right? Like you know, a bit of a ruffian. We call them abangs and aliens.
That's right. You don't fit in that category, do you, Nat?
I hope not.
Only when no one's looking, maybe.
Only when no one's looking. Only with friends.
Well, let's go back to the start, Nat. What I'd really like to know, when the first time was that you picked up a microphone and took a crack at singing?
Well, I started mucking around with music back when I was 3. That's when I first started playing the piano.
Wow.
Actually, holding a microphone, I'm not too sure. Maybe it was when I was in primary school or elementary school.
Okay.
So I was in choir. Up to secondary school and junior college, I have always been in choir. So I guess that's where I got my singing stuff from.
Right. But so definitely music from a very early age. Did you have other people, like, you know, did your parents play any instruments themselves? Or
My mom used to play a little bit of a guitar when she was pregnant with me. So I guess maybe that's where I got my musical stuff from. Because my dad is tone deaf.
Oh, really?
So it's definitely mom.
Okay. See, I have this theory that because everyone in Australia, when we were, you know, getting close to 18, all we can do is think about getting our license to drive. So it's always in the back of our mind, we want to drive. But you guys, you know, there's not much of a chance to drive in Singapore. So I think you all crave music instead. Terrible theory.
That's terrible because a lot of people do drive in Singapore.
It's harder and harder to drive is what I mean.
It is because like cars are super expensive here. If the money I spend on my car were to go towards doing another album or something, you know, I could come up with a really, really good album.
That is very true. We need to cut back on some of those taxes that you guys have to pay on the cars.
I know.
I was speaking to a local friend there only in January, and I couldn't believe how high their taxes. Tax like 300% or something, aren't you?
It's super ridiculous.
Crazy. Come here and drive with us, Nat.
I would. I totally would. I mean, I love Australia. I've been there a few times. One of my favorite places in Australia, believe it or not, is actually Adelaide.
All right.
So I was there for work. It was kind of half holiday, half work. I was working with the South Australian Tourism Commission.
Right.
So we actually went there to promote Adelaide. You know, we shot some really nice scenery. We went to Kangaroo Island and all that. Adelaide's lovely. And I love the farmer's market. I love that, you know, in the morning you go there, it's bustling with so much life, the sights and sounds, you know, colorful fruits and vegetables and flowers.
The market in the city as well is quite amazing as well, the produce there.
Yeah. It's just so amazing, you know. I mean, we don't have markets like that in Singapore. I mean, it's not as fresh because, you know, in Australia you grow a lot of your own produce and all that, and for Singapore we just have to import a lot of stuff, so it's never as fresh as a real farmer's market. So that was really amazing.
Yeah, definitely a good chunk of the wine that you have in Singapore comes from South Australia in the Barossa.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, we could talk about wine and South Australia all the time, because I have to say I'm also a fan of Adelaide. Absolutely love it. And, you know, being a Melbournian, everyone has a bit of a giggle about Adelaide, but I just say, well, if you're not going to go visit it, then it's your loss, because it's a really lovely place. Very cold, though, this time of the year.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, because you guys are the opposite from us. Well, I mean, we're on the equator, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, you're always stinking hot and sweaty over there.
Yeah.
Well, let's get more back to your music for now. So really like to talk to you about Idol. Obviously, I believe you're part of the inaugural Singapore Idol series in 2004, is that right?
That's correct. That was 13 years ago, my goodness.
I know, it's gone 13, lucky for some, huh? can you share the experience and how far you got along in the competition?
Okay, for Singapore Idol, I made it to the top 30. So that was as far as I went. And it was really eye-opening for me because, you know, before that, I had absolutely no idea how this whole entertainment industry worked. I mean, it's not like people advertise or in the newspapers, you know, it's like how do you even become an actor or a singer or whatever, right? It's so mysterious. So when American Idol came out, I was like, oh, so this is how you do it. So when the franchise came over to Singapore, I was like, okay, I have to do this. So I tried, and you know, I was up against people who have been singing for years, like in like small clubs or in pubs and stuff. So they had a lot of performing experience. But for me, I was like, okay, let's just try this. You know, so obviously I didn't make it as far, but it was a good learning experience. And from then, I did a little bit of modeling, and then eventually like acting came along.
Yeah.
While my path to becoming a singer wasn't super direct. I took a few detours, but I feel like it was good because it allowed me to experience different portions of the entertainment industry and try different things and all that. And I think, you know, the fact that I didn't become famous overnight was good because it laid a really good and solid foundation for me.
Right.
It made me appreciate everything I have now, you know, because it was all earned through hard work and really taking things step by step.
Yeah. So it was more about the experience and understanding of the industry and not necessarily there to be making paper and buy a car.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your modeling. So, because I see that you've done quite a bit over the years. Was that always something in the back of your mind that you thought you'd take have a shot at? Or?
Well, not really. So when I did modeling, I was just like, I need a bit of pocket money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, why not just try? I sent an email to a few modeling agencies at that time because I was in the army. They said, oh, if you want to join us, you have to take like portfolio pictures and all that, and it's going to cost you. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, but I was in the army, you know, and I'm not earning a lot of money. That's fine. I think I'll pass. So after I did Idol, one of the agents saw me. They said, hey, you know, we saw you on TV and we think you have a good face for commercials and stuff. Would you like to join us? So that was how my modeling journey began.
Nice. A bit more positive than my modeling experience. I went to try out for a modeling company and the guy that was taking photos said, ah, you look like a young Gordon Ramsay. And I said, well, that wasn't really what I was going for.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. But looking back, I was like, wow, yeah, I was never going to be a model.
Well, I mean, Gordon Ramsay is famous, so maybe he just means you have a famous face.
Well, let's hope that's what he meant. Let's look at your work with MediaCorp. So, I mean, for those that are listening at the moment might not know too much about MediaCorp if they're outside of Singapore, but everyone within Singapore knows about MediaCorp. It's such a huge company. It must have been something really exciting and, a real stepping stone for you to get signed up with them. And what was that experience like?
Well, signing with MediaCorp was really amazing because they are the only local TV station in Singapore.
Yeah.
So, you know, being signed with them was quite a big deal. And the fact of the matter is, in the Singapore entertainment industry, if you sign to another artist management agency, an external one, eventually, you know, you're going to have to work with MediaCorp anyway. So might as well just sign to them. I mean, that was my thinking when I first started out as an artist. And it was a great place to really learn the inner workings of the industry and to, you know, like pay my dues and earn my stripes. And so I was with them from 2006 to 2010, and I had quite a good run while I was with them.
Yeah.
But I left in 2010 because at that time I was 26. So, you know, all this while at the back of my mind, I was thinking, I still haven't really given singing a shot.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do that before I got too old. And because MediaCorp, their focus is on TV, you know, not on music. And while the station was kind enough to let me perform for variety shows and stuff, and every Chinese New Year, we will release a Chinese New Year album and they will always put me in.
Nice.
But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I want to be doing like real music. I want to be doing music that I have a creative say in, that I write. Singing Chinese New Year songs is not quite what I had in mind.
Yeah. Would you have ever put your hand up to do the National Day song? Because that would have always been something that artists in Singapore wanted.
That would have been cool. That is something on my bucket list. They haven't caught me.
Well, maybe after this interview. Fingers crossed. We'll start a campaign. Nat for National Day 2017.
That sounds amazing.
Let's talk about your debut album, Unleashed. What was the original style that you were going for and the mark you were going for? Because, you know, you can't just cater to everyone, can you?
No, I can't. Well, I would say it's fortunate that my personal taste is actually very top 40s, you know? So I'm not a sellout. There are some people that start on indie or folk or something,
and
sign to a label, then suddenly they just get all pop. So that is like selling out. But I like pop.
Yeah, you're allowed to. It's your God-given right.
Exactly. So, you know, I like pop, and so that's what I did. And I'm a person who also likes performing and dancing and stuff. So usually the stuff that I put out has certain dance elements. So at that time, Unleashed, I would classify it as electro dance pop. And it's something that hasn't really been heard much from Singaporean singers.
Well, it definitely wasn't at that time. Yeah, for sure. It was very unique.
So, you know, I mean, with anything that's new and unique, of course, you are going to get haters as well.
Yeah.
Because generally people don't like change. And so there was a lot of change going on with that release because, you know, people knew me as an actor. And then when I suddenly did the whole singing thing, and then I changed my image, I had the whole blonde hair kind of thing. So it was like too many changes at once. And then it was also a style that people were not expecting from me. I think they were expecting me to play a guitar in front of the Singapore Malayan.
Yeah.
And you know, some really, really like
shopping bags down Orchard Road.
Yeah, really sentimental and stuff.
But ice cream sandwiches.
Like, so it was crazy. It was a lot of fun. People either really liked it or really hated it. So you know, it was really polarizing, but it was so much fun.
Well, the clip itself, I have to ask. It looks like it was expensive to make and a lot of time put into it. Am I correct?
It was. That was basically my entire life savings.
Oh wow! So you had to put it up yourself.
Yes, of course. Because I'm actually, since leaving MediaCorp, I'm actually not signed to any agency. I run my own agency, and I have a manager who helps me. So basically, I'm a one-man show, basically.
Right. Well, sometimes you got to do it for yourself, don't you? Get results.
Of course. I mean, you know, a lot of times I find that people are too preoccupied with finding an agency or finding somebody that's going to do stuff for them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like, why is a stranger going to do something for you? Like, what's the incentive for them? You know, if you want to do something, you just do it for yourself.
Sure.
And then the right people will come along.
And I think sometimes, like, you get a chance to have it more hands-on and you get to really interact with people a bit more than you would usually if you're waiting for a manager to get around to things for you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that is one of the things that I enjoy the most and keeps me going. And that is the creative process. Because, you know, what is really amazing for me is taking a thought, an idea from your mind, from the ether, and turning it into something that's real and tangible. I mean, the first time I went on set for Unleashed, it was such a humbling moment for me because I was like, oh my God, there's all these people on set, you know, and they're working so hard and they're all doing it for me. Like, what did I do to deserve this? You know, but at the end of the day, I realized also that because, I mean, a lot of the people that came on board were people that I had worked with before in the course of my career. So they are familiar with me and they know what kind of person I am. And they agreed to come on board for like friendship price because how often do you get to do a music video with like crazy ideas and crazy sets and stuff? I mean, maybe overseas, yes, but not so much in Singapore.
Sure.
You know, I mean, the stuff that pays the bills is the boring corporate videos. So that really is the lifeblood for them. But as a creative, you want to flex your creative muscle.
Yeah.
So that was why they were happy to come on board and all that. And we all had so much fun.
So that was obviously your first taste of producing a track. But then you decided to move to Taiwan to gain some more experience.
Yes. So actually, my whole objective of doing Unleashed was to have a good enough product in order to get overseas management. Because, you know, you can say, I want to sing like all you want, but until people actually see a product from you, you know, like they're not going to sign you, right?
Yeah,
so I did get signed to a Taiwanese agency after Unleashed. So I went to Taiwan. I was based there for 2 years, and I actually released an album there as well as a music video as well. So that music video was called "Zimo Zhentan." In English, it is translated loosely to "The Lonely Detective."
That's right. Well, do you want to tell us a little bit about what the song's about for those that are English speaking and couldn't really follow?
Okay. So The Lonely Detective is actually a song about love, I guess. Like, you know, when you first get to know somebody and like you start dating and all that, it's always really fun because you go through a period of like, oh, you know, do they like me or do they not and all that. You know, so it's kind of like being a detective.
True.
And you have to kind of guess the other person's
look for
idea.
The clues.
Yeah, look for the clues, you know, and stuff. Read between the lines of the text, like if they reply immediately or if they take too long to reply, are they playing hard to get or are they just not interested? And stuff. I mean, it's something that I think in the modern dating scene, a lot of people are familiar with. So that was what that song was about.
I think in the modern dating scene that some of that's actually being removed with all the apps that are available and people just cut to the chase.
I know. Personally, I'm the type that just cuts to the chase.
Because these days, the lonely detective only needs someone to click a star or something to say, you know, game on. Or swipe right or whatever it is.
Yeah. So I mean, that was a lot of fun. But unfortunately, I mean, in Taiwan, I didn't have so much creative input because I was under a label. And as a newbie, you know, you don't get much say. So the record label decides everything.
Yeah.
But having said that, that first single actually did really well. It broke into top 10 of a lot of radio stations in Taiwan.
Fantastic. It's one of our favorites. We've played it a lot over the years.
Thank you.
And I mean, still a good place to be for 2 years if you're not doing anything else. Taiwan, like Taipei, I'm assuming?
At that time, I was based in Taipei, but now I'm based in Singapore.
It's a good place. I went there 5 years ago, but I can't remember much about it. All I remember is late nights at Funky and hanging out at Red Square, having drinks with friends.
Yeah, Taipei is actually a great place if you're into like clubbing and stuff. You know, the nightlife is pretty active.
It's a great place in the world. Okay, so fast forward to 2017, you have a new single out, which is very exciting. Been hanging out for something new, and Snakes and Ladders. So can you tell us a little bit about that for those that haven't heard of it?
Okay, so Snakes and Ladders is the new single from my upcoming EP called The Game. Basically, it's the first time collaborating with my producer. His name is Tat Tong, and he's one of the fastest rising new producers in Singapore. And so it was really exciting. I've always wanted to work with him. So the moment I came back from Taiwan and was, you know, I had my own agency again, I reached out to him and said, hey, look, I want to do new music and I want to do it with you. So that's how we got started. And when we first wrote this song, he said, okay, what is the net whole message? What is your message? And I said, well, my message has always been to, you know, follow your dreams, chase your dreams, because I truly, truly believe that if everybody chased their dreams and did pursue something that made them happy, the world would be a much happier place.
True.
I think a lot of people are really angry. They're angry at themselves, they're angry at society and all that, because, I mean, I don't think anybody sets out to be a grumpy or sad person. But along the way, you know, there are people that, especially in Singapore, I feel there are people that say, look, I did everything correct. You know, I studied, I got a university degree, I climbed the corporate ladder and all that. So why are you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they didn't live for themselves. And I think that's I think that's a serious problem.
So hopefully some of these lyrics really encourage people to think about that, because the worst thing is to get to, you know, your old age and look back and go, gee, didn't do what I wanted to do. And here you are, someone that as a 25, 26-year-old said, you know what, this is great, life's pretty good, but I would like to be doing something else that I'm passionate about, and you went for it. So it's pretty inspiring too.
Exactly. So it's the what ifs that kill, and it's also the what ifs that drive me. So for Snakes and Ladders, it is the message essentially is still about chasing your dreams, but I'm coming from a point where I'm like in my early 30s, you know, I have gone through like some stuff and I've been burned as well. So I'm at a point where, look, I still want to achieve my dreams and stuff, but are you going to help me or hurt me? Because, you know, in the game of snakes and ladders, if you hit a snake, you get pulled down, right?
That's true.
You land on a ladder, you get pulled up. So it's the same as working with, you know, the people around you. You want to surround yourself with good people.
Well, now, I hope this song in particular, there's only up, climbing up those ladders and reaching for the stars, because I wish you all success with this track.
Thank you. At the same time, also, the other message is putting the power in the hands of the audience. It's like, we all have a choice. Do you want to be a snake or a ladder? What type of person do you want to be?
Mm.
There's a lot of things that's not right with the world, but we have the power to change it.
Be a ladder. Don't be a snake. Get out onto iTunes and purchase this track for Nat Ho right now.
Thank you.
How else can people support you now? How can they follow you on social media, check you out on YouTube and all that stuff?
Okay, so I'm reachable on social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, using the handle I am Nat Ho. That's IAMNATHO.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I mean, I feel like it's a long time coming because I always try to get you on and then we both get busy and it doesn't happen, and that's been going for about 4 years.
yes, but you know what? There's another like 3 more releases coming out this year.
Oh, good.
So sure, we have lots of opportunities to catch up.
Excellent. Well, if we're not catching up on Asia Pop Radio, I'm hoping that we'll catch up in Singapore and we can do everything Singapore expects of us in front of the Merlion.
Yes, for sure.
Thanks, Nat.
Thanks, Jason.